Hello, all you frogites and frogettes out there on internet land. I am sat here in the Square Cafe at 7:45 with the fabulous Phil Jupitus.
How are you doing? All right.
Yeah, we're not too bad, Phil. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very well.
Enjoying the rainy weather?
Well, the thing is that inadvertently I find myself perfectly equipped for Edinburgh because I went to Glastonbury this year and realised that I'd never ever had the proper kit for walking around Glastonbury when it's rainy, and I bought it all. And realised that it was also usable for Edinburgh. So now I look like a well-to-do beekeeper when I've got all the kit on. Everything is plastic trousers, plastic coating. I'm sweating more than I ever have before, just simply because I am completely clad in synthetic fabrics.
And nothing that'll let you breathe.
Yeah, nothing at all.
And you've come back to Edinburgh after how many years away?
For a stand-up show, it's 10 years.
10 years?
10 years since I've done a stand-up show in Edinburgh, yeah. Well, the funny thing is, it's actually the first time ever I've done a full run of a stand-up show, ever. Yeah. The longest I did before was in 98. I did 2 weeks of a show for the Gilded Balloon. And in fact, I did 2 shows that year, so I did twice as much work. But whenever I come up, I like to do 2 shows, just to... It's just stupid because I miss things, but you know, at the same time, I like to keep busy. Mm. And then if you've got that rhythm of the day, it's broken up into those 2 shows. I mean, well, 4 years ago I did 3 shows, so I like the rhythm of Edinburgh. It really suits, but as part of that rhythm, I have to keep busy. Otherwise, I'll drink and eat until I drop.
And when was your first ever Edinburgh?
It's funny enough, this is something I've been looking at. It's possibly 20 years this year, but it might be 92. I know that I came up and did a show called the Live Essex Show, which was the first time I actually did a show, but I think I came up the year before to do some sort of stand-up guest slots for someone else. And I'm pretty sure I came up and just did some TV warm-up or a radio guest thing or something. So I think I visited before I came properly. And I've never really done it in a properly organised fashion until now, doing the improv and the stand up. So Edinburgh and me have had a very odd relationship, but a very enjoyable one. You know, I've guested on people's shows. I came up for 2 weeks in about 94, I think, doing warm up on a TV show, and it took till 98. So I've been coming up here for 7 years until I did my first proper show. You know. We did the Live Essex Show. It was me, John Mann, Lorraine Bowen, Murray Talkinson from the band The Sweeney, a poet called Little Dave, and myself. And we did a kind of 1.5 hour variety show in a squash court.
And was that back when you were doing your poetry?
No, it was just after the poetry. That was the changeover year. That was the year I decided to just be Phil Jupitus rather than Porky the Poet. So that was, it was a big year. Yeah.
So what's inspired you to come back up after a decade of not doing stand-up?
I think Edinburgh is actually the best place to come up if you want to find out if you've even got the chops anymore. It's a really good place because there's just everyone is up here. Mm. It's a good vibe. You can experiment with stuff. You know, you're given an incredible amount of latitude by the crowds up here. The atmosphere is great. You can see other shows. You can see what other people are doing. It's incredibly conducive to creativity to be in Edinburgh, especially in August. You know, I find at any time of the year I love Edinburgh, but in August it's great. I've never really understood the naysayers, to be honest with you. You know, the people that sort of moan about it. I mean, it's a unique event in the world. Unique. There's nowhere quite like it. And I just adore it. You know? So yeah, it was Edinburgh. It dovetailed quite nicely with me being a bit curious about coming up and doing it again, which was after a lot of people moaning at me. I mean, Andre Vincent has been on my case for 6 years about doing stand up again, and I've just always kind of fended him off. But Izzard phoned me up last year and said, and he found out that I wasn't doing stand up, and he was like, you know, why aren't you doing stand-up? And he kind of had an argument with me down the phone about, and I just said, I've just not got the time. And he went, make time was this sort of thing. And he was very sort of, you should do it.
So you've been browbeaten into doing stand-up again.
Kind of. But there's no denying. I mean, when I wrote the book about radio, when I wrote Good Morning Nantwich, it was like, in the process of writing that, I realised how much I miss stand-up. You know, the immediacy of it and the autonomy of stand-up is something that none of my other things I do, Buzzcocks, musicals, you know, improv. I don't get autonomy doing those things. You know, that's what I love about stand-up is the degree of self-control from a material point of view and the fact that, you know, you're your own boss. You know.
And so, have you been finding these shows? You've been done how many now?
I've done, God, well, there were 14 warm-ups, and I'm now, tonight is my 7th, 8th? It's Wednesday, 8th. So 22 shows. 22 is the first. I still haven't done a day of stand-up in 10 years. I'm coming to the end of my first day of doing stand-up, my first 24 hours, so... It's weird. It's like, I mean, you know, it's, Vinny was, when Andre, he was like always, so I don't know if I could do it again. He goes, it's like riding a bike. I went, well, yeah, yeah, it was like riding a bike. The first gig, it was like riding a really well put together bike downhill with a wind behind me. The second gig, it was like riding a bike, the wheels have been nicked through mud. The fourth gig, it was like riding a penny farthing through Victorian London. The other gig was like riding a tandem with no one else on it. You know, it's the whole riding a bike analogy. I've been through various kinds of it. But they've been good gigs. They've not been bad gigs. They've been good and they've been quieter. And so it's the fact that what's interesting now is that back when I was, you know, when I did Quadrophobia 10 years ago, the degree of control you have when you've been doing stand-up non-stop for 15 years is unbelievable. And then you take the break and you come back to it. What I haven't got now is the control like I used to have, and so it's a foreign medium to me at the moment. But I'm slowly learning it again, which is the fun part.
Yeah,
you know, is
rediscovering.
Yeah, that is it. That is really it. Also, the fact that I'm a different bloke. I am a 49-year-old father of two, rather than a 39-year-old father of two, which I was last time. You know, I'm a different guy.
And also, you'll have, I suppose, do you ever find that people have certain perceptions of you through knowing you from Buzzcocks or QI or having seen you on...
I think,
You're quite a well-loved television comedian.
I think, that's the different thing, is the fact that people will come and see the show, you know. I mean, it bemuses me no end when you go and see... I mean, John Higley, I went to see his show, his first warm-up. Mm-hmm. There were 11 people in there, and it's... one of the best things I've seen this year by a mile.
Yeah.
An unbelievable show, just fantastic. The ideas, you know, I mean, and that's what I come to Edinburgh for, you know, is that. And just I am just in that lucky position that people know me off the box and will come and see the show out of curiosity. So, you know, what you're trying to do is not disappoint, but at the same time, still have the wherewithal to try and be as innovative and as gutsy as the Munnerys and the Hegleys.
Yeah.
You know.
I remember seeing Simon Munnery last year.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Just, year's show. This year's show, if anything, even more off the wall ideas and everything.
Excellent.
It's fantastic. It's just, and that's why I come. You know, Stuart Lee and Simon and John Hegley and all the people like that that relentlessly come year after year and force themselves to come up with that new hour. I love that. I adore that. I want to be like that. I want to be an old man in a room in Edinburgh who 30 people every day will come and see without fail. That would suit me down the ground.
I mean, Norman Lovett's doing the Free Fringe this
year
as well.
But the thing is that, and this is something that I was just annoyed I wasn't more together, but I had an idea for a show that I did with Tim Wells, the poet in London, and I quite wanted to do that at the Free Fringe. So maybe next year. Maybe next year. But I just didn't have the wherewithal to get it together because I was on tour in Spamalot pretty much up until I came up here to Edinburgh. So
was that good fun?
That was a laugh, Musicals, that's another world. I do enjoy that.
Because your first musical was Hairspray, wasn't
it? Yes, I did that in the West End,
Dressing like a lady.
Indeed, That was... that again, you know, terrific fun doing something like that and very out of the comfort zone, and that's... what has always appealed, you know. And it's kind of why I do stand up again. Why do stand up again? Because the idea of doing stand up again slightly terrified me. So again, step out of, you know, just do things you're not used to. Life's more interesting.
Yeah. Now, I first met you 3 years ago, 2009, when you were doing the Perfect 10 Live at the Cameo Cinema in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And since the Perfect 10, you and Phil are no longer doing that, are you?
No, we just... I mean, it's just... it's one of those things. There's only so many answers, really, you know. And I really... I think I listened to one night. I like... we've said this before. Mm. It was something. And I'm like... I don't want to be chasing my own tail and worrying about something that was fun to do. And so the best thing to do is... something is ceases to be that much abandonment and fun, then yeah. stop doing it. That Manchester gig, there was a lot of ag with the Manchester gig that we did. The guy, you know, we didn't get paid. The guy kind of fucked us around a bit.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I had to pay for my own hotel room and never got any... Well, no, I got money. We did get paid, but I always give my money away to the perfect ten. But, yeah, yeah. It's a shame. It was good fun, and it works. And, but, I mean, what I said in the last perfect ten is true. I want other people to do it. You know, people to do their own. Not, you know, sell it, but actually do their own. Yeah, I think it's a format that, that anyone can do, genuinely. Yeah. You know, I always believe that about my DJing. Anyone can DJ.
And obviously, podcasting, because you're a huge fan of radio, you grew up with radio, having read your book, The Morning Nantwich. Actually, I listened to your book, so
you
told me your book.
I know, yeah.
Good Morning Nantwich. So is podcasting, do you think it's just an extension and a more free version of radio?
That is the one side of it, but I genuinely think it is something else because of the nature of the way it's consumed and also the fiscal model for it. You know, it's something that people do that performance has to be kind of free. And the only way you're going to make money is like kind of what we did with The Perfect Ten, which is you build something that people like and then you have to do live events, and that's the only way you're going to make money is you create a podcast that is funny enough to take on the road that people will come and see being done live, you know, which Herring is doing to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know, he's managed to find a model for that now.
And it seems that in America they've got a lot of podcasters. I don't know if you know about Earwolf and the Mark Maron podcast.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I really should make an effort to listen to more of them, but I think. And there are so many brilliant ones, you know. And I love the way that They Might Be Giants, you know, have got an amazing podcast. And you've got...
And they even do podcasts for kids as well.
John Hodgman, who you would have seen on The Daily Show, Hodgman does a video podcast.
Yeah.
Which, again, you know, this is the model now, is you do the free stuff online so people come and see.
Because it gets your name out.
It's an interesting... Definitely an interesting way of doing it.
He also does one called Judge John Hodgman,
that's right,
which is hilarious. Hilarious, where he solves problems for people as a judge.
Good man.
So getting back to Edinburgh quickly, how would you say it's changed since you first came up here? Because I know...
It's literally just the amount of people. It's just in terms of the density of people up here. It always seems to be more... but it's the same as it ever was, I think, really. I mean... You think everything was better when you were a kid, the bands, the comedy acts, but, you know, it's just evolution, things shift, things change.
Yeah.
You know, what you cling to is that doesn't change. What you like is what, you know, the fact that John will always have new ideas, the fact that Munnery will always have new ideas, that is what, you know, brings me back. It's a brilliant city, I think, you know. And I come for the city, you know, the festival's just a bonus.
Okay, so would you like to just plug your
my shows? My shows. I'm doing two. I'm doing a show called Made Up at the Gilded Balloon at 3:30 most days, and my stand-up show is called Stand Down, which is at the Stand. Could I say the word stand a little more? Which is 8:25 pretty much every night. I've got a couple of nights off. Check the internet for details.
And if people want to follow you on Twitter.
They can't anymore. I've quit.
You've quit Twitter?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Although I'm still there as a presence, I don't do it anymore.
Oh, right, okay.
Is that enough?
I just got fed up with it.
You know what? You could be reading a book. Twitter is brilliant. And I think why it appealed to people in the media and people, because who were like comedians and such, it's because it is that chatty kind of.
Yeah.
And it's like chatting to someone at work, and it's a social thing. And then I suddenly realised I'm treating it like a gig. I'm wondering how funny the next tweet's going to be, and then it becomes work. Oh, I don't want to work anymore. I work enough. Yeah.
Phil, thank you very much for being on.
Cheers, Rich. Bless you, sir.
Good to see you again, my friend. And good luck with your show.
Cheers. Thanks very much.